1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the show. Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, will be along shortly. We'll talk Racer basketball, little high school basketball, maybe even some Rogue One. I haven't seen it yet. Ed has. Let's see if he can tell me something without spoiling it. Maybe so. We'll chat with Ed coming up in a few minutes. Before we do, let's get you caught up with everything going on. Callaway County and the Callaway County girls team, huge win last night. 28 points, 16 rebounds by Charlie Settle. Tell you what, folks, she's a good one. And I think a freshman, she's going to be something. Anyhow, they defeat Caro 61-32 at the Murray Bank Hardwood Classic. So now Callaway County up to 8-1 on the season. They'll play Lyon County this afternoon in the tournament championship game. Lyon County defeating Clarksville Northeast 48-43 in the other semifinal game. Some other girls' games. Marshall County, a 68-41 win over Dyer County. Butler County down Tillman 54-36. West Creek defeated Fulton City 40-35. Graves County 82, Livingston Central 45. Crittenden County a 36-31 winner over Mayfield. And Trigg County 36, Hickman County 30. On the boys' side, Peyton Johnson with 21 points. Callaway County defeated Barron County 53-47 in the Webster County Christmas Tournament. Camden Price added 16 points. The Lakers are now 6-3. Callaway County will play the final game in that tournament when the Lakers face Meade County today at 5. Some other boys' scores from last night. Butler County did it to Hickman County, 82-45. Graves County, a 68-58 winner over Ripley. McCracken County, 61. Lyon County, 49. Clarksville Northeast defeated Fulton City, 71-31. And it went triple overtime, but Livingston Central defeated Morgan County, 56-55. The 5-1 Murray High girls return to action today against Scott in the traditional bank holiday classic at Lexington Catholic. It is a terrific, prestigious tournament. The Tiger girls playing against some of the top teams in the state, including Scott. And you can hear that game with Travis Turner on the call today at 4:30 on WNBS and 1340WNBS.com. The 4-4 Murray High boys travel to Graves County to face Grayson County tonight at the WKNT Sports Classic. No coverage of that one since Travis is away with the girls team this week. OVC men's scores last night, a couple of games. UT Martin gets a win over Missouri Kansas City, 77-66. They win at Kansas City. That is impressive. But remember, the Kangaroos no longer have their best player, Martez Harrison, as he has been dismissed from the team. But still, that's an impressive win. You go on the road and win in college basketball, it's thumbs up. Martin's got a good record. I think they're now 9-4. They're doing well. Lipscomb defeated Austin Peay last night, 99-85. The Govs hit a bunch of threes, but not enough in that 14-point loss. In men's regional action, it was Georgia beating Georgia Tech, 60-43. Arkansas down North Dakota State, 71-55. Toledo defeating Loyola Chicago, 74-70 in the only Missouri Valley Conference game. Women's OVC games, Tennessee State down Stetson, 56-50. Bethune-Cookman defeated Edwardsville, 83-78. Miami, Ohio, 66. Eastern Kentucky, 54. Ole Miss down Austin Peay, 66-38. And 22nd-ranked DePaul, 100. UT Martin, 68. The Murray State women's basketball team closes its non-conference schedule today when they face the Devilettes of Mississippi Valley State. It's the Racers' first trip to Itabena, as the previous three contests against Mississippi Valley State were all played at neutral sites. The Racers enter the game with a 7-5 record, while the Devilettes come in at 3-6. Airtime for the game, 1:45 on WNBS and 1340WNBS.com. Kentucky's Malik Monk hauled in two additional honors Tuesday for his efforts in the win over North Carolina. You know, he had 47 points in that 103-100 victory. Monk is the winner of the U.S. Basketball Writers Association Oscar Robertson National Player of the Week, and he also is the Wayman Tisdale Freshman of the Week from that same organization. The Cats visit Louisville tonight at the KFC Yum Center in a battle of 10-1 top 10 teams. Kentucky owns a 34-15 edge in the series, including an 8-1 mark since John Calipari became the Cats head coach. ESPN will televise the game tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock. Anthony Wales gained 329 yards from scrimmage, and Western Kentucky earned a bowl bid for the third year in a row by beating Memphis 51-31 Tuesday night at the Boca Raton Bowl. Wales ran for a career-high 245 yards on 35 carries, added 84 yards on four catches, and scored three times. Teammate Mike White threw 336 yards and three touchdowns. Taywan Taylor had nine catches for 144 yards and his 17th touchdown of the season. And six OVC football players have been named to the 2016 Stats FCS All-American team. The selections included a first-team selection, three second-team selections, two third-team selections. Jacksonville State and Tennessee State had three selections each. The first-team pick, Jacksonville State senior center Casey Dunn. The second-team picks, Tennessee State senior offensive lineman Jessamine Dunker. Jacksonville State junior defensive lineman Darius Jackson. And Tennessee State senior defensive back Ezra Robinson. The third-team picks, Jacksonville State freshman Marlon Bridges. And Tennessee State junior kicker Lane Clark. That has us caught up. I'll take a break. By the way, Thursday, I believe we will have a Thursday show. We'll preview the Murray State-Wright State game, tell you about everything else going on in the OVC. But there will be no Friday show, and we'll be off until Tuesday. All right? So that has us caught up. Stay tuned. Ed Marlowe is next.
Racer fans, Murray State basketball returns to the CFSB Center on Thursday, December 22nd, for an exciting matchup with the Raiders of Wright State. Ohio Valley Conference action is looming later this month, so come on out before the holidays and cheer on your Racers in this exciting matchup against Wright State. For more information, contact the ticket office at 270-809-3000 or go online at goracers.com.
We're back, as promised. Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, is my guest. Our final show pre-Christmas, as we have a lot of basketball to talk about. Last week, Murray State was at Ole Miss. Then they went to South Dakota State, about a 2,000-mile or so trip combined into minus 40-degree wind chills. But the bad news is the Racers did come away 0-2, but they were in both games. I know you were at the Ole Miss game. It's kind of the same scenario we've seen. The Racers get down by a bunch, down 20 with 11 minutes to go, then claw their way back, had a chance to cut it to one with under 30 seconds to go. This team never does give up, but they just don't have the results to show for it, still looking for that first road win.
Well, and I think, Neil, you and I talked about it, you know, before recording, that a lot of it's coming down to defense. And I know that that continues to be a broken record, but you know, this is a team that has, and really even the Ole Miss game, I think they shot 2 for 15 from the three-point line.
It's bad.
Yeah, and then hit 11 of 22 late, you know, or something like that. I think I was writing that in my story. And so it's a situation where I don't necessarily think offense, you know, continues to be an issue for the Racers. There's defensive possessions, though, where they have, you know, given up, I don't necessarily want to say easy baskets, but have ended up having a foul in response to giving up easy baskets. You could see Ole Miss really attacked in that game, had a big free throw discrepancy by the end of the game. And the same as South Dakota State. I mean, you saw the foul discrepancy there. South Dakota State decided that they were going to drive against Murray State's pressure and defensive set. And so, you know, you had more guys going to the free throw line. Now, I think don't want to talk about any officiating, but I think the foul discrepancy in the South Dakota game was a little lopsided, but guys like Dom, they're going to get the all-star call. He's an electrifying player. I mean, he did what he's supposed to do. You know, you go 11 of 22 from the field, 16 of 16 from the free throw line, and put in another, 11 rebounds, you're going to get some all-star calls. Yeah. So, you know, and I understand that, and he's a very dynamic player. But that being said, both of these games, you could tell that the defense was improving, but that there were still some, I don't want to say missing pieces because it's not gaping holes, but exploitative. Teams have found ways to exploit the Racer defense. They've done a good job attacking guys like Breon Sanctius, Terrell Miller, getting them into foul trouble, and that changes the Racer offense early in the game.
And the biggest problem has been defending without fouling. The percentages, especially in the Ole Miss game, were really good. That's something that the Racers could live with, holding them to under 40% from the field. And I think right around 30% from three-point range. They could live with that the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. But it's the sending the teams to the charity stripe so much, and they happen to send teams that are really making free throws, and it's something they can't do. And the 27-10, the 27 fouls against the Racers at South Dakota State, I'm saying we own almost all those.
Yeah.
The issue was the ones that really weren't called on South Dakota State, and many times. And this isn't really a slap because we've noticed it in other games as well. I've talked with a couple of different coaches that when you get these bracket buster return games where you use your own conference, when you go on the road, the officials seem to not want to make it seem one-sided. So they kind of get the opposite effect. They go, hey, I want to give a fair call. And so I don't think they're consciously doing that. I really don't. I never – only one game that I've ever called that I ever actually think the officials were – at least one of them was making a conscious decision to screw the other team. So I don't think that in any way. But there were just a lot of calls not called. They should, probably should have had, you know, another 5 to 10 calls. But that's part of basketball, part of life on the road. Usually you don't get the best whistle when you go on the road, but normally it's not quite that bad.
Well, and I think another thing, too, and just to back off a little on officiating, because you're absolutely right, but when you take a look at these two games, Adam Wells of WPSD and myself talked to Matt McMahon earlier this week, and I think a lot of it's just coming down to McMahon is seeking consistency. Mm-hmm. There have been, and you and I have talked about this for 3 or 4 weeks now, there have been absolutely brilliant stretches of Racer basketball where at moments they look like they compete with anybody in the country. But then there are other stretches where the lights go off, honestly. Like you feel like that there's a miscommunication, there's an egregious error. Somebody wasn't there for a box out. Somebody wasn't there for a pass or a play, or you know, something develops underneath the basket and they take a poor shot. There's literally a number of different ways that the Racers have failed.
Right.
But that's to be expected with a team that doesn't have a single minute from the 2015 championship team. Like this isn't. People seem to forget, and I have to remind myself sometimes. This is a team that is so green and so new under McMahon. There's a lot of basketball experience, but you have a plethora of JUCO guys, you have a plethora of transfers, and some freshmen, mm-hmm. and Mac McMahon's second year as a head coach. These lumps are coming, and you just feel like it's like mashed potatoes. You have lumps early, and you got to keep whipping it and whipping it and whipping it until you don't have any more lumps. And this non-conference schedule, I have to remind myself, I'd love to go look at the RPI. You and I have talked about it at length, too. This is one of the toughest non-conference schedules, just from a travel perspective, that I can just think in a while. It's been a while since the Racers have been this tested. So you're just taking a look at this situation, and you realize these two games, the Ole Miss game and the South Dakota State game, might be the best basketball the Racers have played this year, despite being 0-2. Mm. They hung with Ole Miss at the Pavilion. They hung at Frost Arena in frosty temperatures against a team that hasn't lost in 3 years at home. I mean, you know, and Ole Miss, their only loss had been to Middle Tennessee State. They've got some really good wins at home, you know. And they were playing in front of Morgan Freeman.
So, I heard.
How nerve-wracking would that be?
And how did I miss that? I didn't know till after the game. My son said you should have talked to Morgan Freeman. Like, why would I want to talk to Morgan Freeman? Like, well, he was at the game. Like,
yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Morgan Freeman.
How would I have known that?
How amazing, though.
Yeah, I doubt that he would have spoken with me.
He might have, though. I got a picture of him, but I was way too nervous. And I got the decent photos, very candid shot, but I was way too nervous to talk to him.
My only regret ever, as far as celebrity, was at the Charleston tournament on our championship night when Bill Murray was there.
Oh, wow. Bill Murray was there?
Bill Murray was there. He's friends with the former head coach at the Georgia Tech, who is the AD there at Charleston, Bobby Crimmins.
Gotcha.
He's friends with Bobby Crimmins and was there visiting with him. I guess they golfed, and he was there taking in the basketball game.
Why not?
But I didn't, you know, I was already on the air, and if I'd known ahead of time, it's like, I know he would have come over. I mean, it's Murray State. Come on, it's Bill Murray. He's going to come over and chat for a while. But that missed the chance. That's my biggest regret ever in terms of having somebody on.
That Charleston championship. That was Murray State, Colorado. Is that right?
It was. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Askia Booker.
Yes.
Their guard. Yeah. That was a good game.
Very good. Very good. Now we talk about the difficult schedule, and it continues Thursday night with this Wright State team coming in. They were really good last year. I think they went to the championship game in their tournament. They're 8-4 this year with some different personnel. They're led by a kid named Mark Allstark, 6'5 junior, averaging about 20 per game. Steven Davis, 6'8 senior, averaging about 15. Grant Benzinger averages 12. Justin Mitchell, 11. But what they do really well is they shoot the three at a 40% clip. They defend the three down to 33%, so that's good. And here's another team that makes free throws. 77% at the line as a team. It's a pretty good team.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an excellent test at home. This is a Wright State team that drubbed the Racers last year. It was a fairly close game at about halftime, and then in the second half, the Racers just couldn't make a shot.
Yeah.
On the road, another one of those road struggles. Kind of remind me of the Evansville game this year. I know it wasn't as big of a beat at Wright State last year, but it was still about it was
one-sided.
18-20
yeah,
point
somewhere
loss.
Around there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, can that happen again tomorrow night? I don't really know. The Racers are undefeated at home. They're very good at home, have beaten some good teams at home, and have played well enough on the road. Sans the Evansville game,
yeah.
that outlier. They've played well enough on the road to hang with some really, really, you know, top-notch teams. So I expect it to be a high-class situation. I expect it to be a high-class game. I don't expect this to be very one-sided. If it is, either everything's going right for the Racers or everything's going right for Wright.
There you go.
I mean, that's really, you know, that's really how it'll play out. I know the Racers are really good in the CFSB Center, but this is certainly a top-notch mid-major matchup. And another tough test. They're very good.
Well, the Racers have this game, and then they'll take some time off for Christmas, and we'll talk about the games next week. But then they have Brescia, and by that time, whatever woes they're having as far as defensive deficiencies, reaching without fouling, they have to have them solved because the conference opener is about as tough as it could be when you have Tennessee State coming in a nationally televised game.
Not only is it Tennessee State, but then after that, you have to lick your wounds quick because you've got back-to-back road swings.
Yeah,
four straight games on the road, and if you can get through that five games, let's say 4-1 or 3-2,
yeah.
I'd be thumbs up. I'd be like,
I'd take
it
right now
because your last 7 of your 11 are at home, and I'd be hopping for joy because it's like those two swings. You go, and McMahon talked about this earlier this week, and I, of course, in my mind, I'm already starting to try plan some of my travel to see these games. You go to the southernmost swing on the road and then follow with your northernmost swing.
Right.
Now, you're lucky because you've got EKU at home this year. Belmont's at home this year. You've got some other trips that you don't necessarily have to take. You know, having Tennessee State at Murray State is also a big, you know, a big swing. But you have, you know, and this is a Tennessee State team that played Duke comfortably close in the first half. I know that Duke pulled away in the second half, but Tennessee
by 10, though.
Yeah. That's, yeah, they won by 10. This is a Tennessee State team that is legit. This is a Tennessee State team that is looking for an OVC title under Dana Ford, and this is a Tennessee State team that plays really, really good defense. And, you know, and so if the, you know, the conference schedule starts there, and then you have the Jacksonville State-Tennessee Tech swing, which will be tough just by travel alone, and then you have the EIU-SIU-Edwardsville swing, which – we know how tough that swing can be. It doesn't matter how good of a Racer basketball team you have. That's just an annoying trip.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. It's a lot of downtime, both of those trips. And so, I mean, you're right. It doesn't get any better with a New Year's Eve matchup with Tennessee State. High profile, two proud teams, one in the East, one in the West. You know, Tennessee State's gotten a lot of pub just over the last couple of weeks, you know, last month or so with Dana Ford's start. And their lump loss was at Vanderbilt. So they're feeling pretty good about themselves. And they also beat Middle Tennessee at Middle Tennessee. So
you have Kentucky-Louisville tonight. Any thoughts you want to share on that one?
Kentucky by 10.
Think they'll by 10?
By 10.
All right. I'm afraid I don't have a dog in the hunt either way. I think it'll be by maybe more than that.
I don't know. I'm not taking anything away from Louisville. And I used to be a UK fan. I still watch as often as I can just because I'm always interested to see who, you know, Calipari's bringing in and generating to the next NBA right. class, because we just know it's coming. But I just don't know who on U of L's team is going to defend guys like Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Isaiah Briscoe didn't play last year in that game. If I'm not mistaken, I was reading this morning Mark Story's column. I'd have to go back and double check that. But, I mean, I just don't know. I know it's the Yum Center, so let's go ahead and give 5 to 10 points to U of L in that swing. Still think UK can come away with an 8 to 10 point win. I just don't know who in the country outside of Duke who has that kind of offense.
Right.
You know, other than Kentucky, UCLA obviously is right up there, as evident by UCLA's mm-hmm. win at Rupp. You know, Kansas's offense is pretty special. North Carolina's, we just saw on a neutral court, then put up 100 against Kentucky. Kentucky did them one better with Malik Monk's 47. You know, that's the most points Division I player has scored this year at that level. So I don't know. I think Kentucky's offense is going to outdo Louisville's defense. I know Louisville's defense is really good. I'm not taking anything away from the Cardinals. I think they're a top 15 team for sure. I just don't know if they have enough offense to match what Kentucky's offense is.
You've covered a lot of high school sports, covering some today as well. Anything that jumps out over the last few days?
Really, just the last few days. I've had a chance to see some really good girls basketball. Callaway is off to a great start.
Boy, they are,
and so is Marshall County. The 4th District looking pretty powerful right now with Murray, Callaway, and Marshall.
And one of you is staying home yep, for the regional.
Yep, as we've always talked you know, about, it's extremely unfortunate.
Yeah.
All three teams are off to really, really great starts. Murray's schedule, of course, has probably been the toughest of the three.
Sure.
But Callaway and Marshall County have taken care of business with their schedule. Marshall County playing in their championship, their Lady Marshall Holiday Classic. They're playing Shelbyville, Tennessee. It's a very good team. They're playing today at about 3 o'clock, I think 3:30. And then Callaway is actually playing a really upstart, solid Lyon County team in their, you know, Hardwood Classic, Murray Bank Hardwood Classic. And so, you know, both of those games, pretty special games. They're both going to be good. I'll be at the Callaway Lyon County game. Marshall County is off to a great start because of their inside-outside punch with Hannah Lange and Maya Davis. And Callaway's off to a great start for their inside-outside punch. They've got great guard play, but it starts with Alicia Hornbuckle and Charlie Settle. And Charlie Settle is a ridiculously good freshman. Talked about her this morning on the Jeff Bidwell Show. She put up 28-18 last night against Cairo, Illinois. I think the night before that she put up 21-14 against a pretty solid, you know, team. And it's just, you know, they're really – both of those teams, Marshall under Joseph Simmons and Callaway under Valerie Waller, are really taking off and doing what they need to do to stay in contention this year. Because everybody's chasing Murray, you know, and that's just how it is. That's just part of it. Murray is so good. And had a chance to see Murray Marshall, I think, last week, and they just, you know, they just took over, like, you know, what they've done the last couple of years. So with their, you know, extended play and Alexis Burpo, Lex Mays, Brittany Lawson, Grace Campbell, the list goes on and on. You know, and they'll get Maddie back soon, too. So,
yeah,
might be an early Christmas present.
It could be. Before I let you go, I haven't seen Rogue One. Do not spoil it for
me. No spoilers.
But you have seen. I'm going to see it today. It was just a scheduling issue with our trip this past weekend and Coach's Show Monday night. I just wasn't really able to see it.
You couldn't tell Matt McMahon that you were going to go see Rogue One?
Well, we're out there?
Yeah, no, just tell Matt, like, hey, let's do the show tomorrow. I'm going to see Rogue One tonight.
Yeah, he would have probably been actually okay with that. Now, after a couple of wins, maybe not. But, you know, you lose a couple of games, like, sure, that's not a problem.
Let's take a break for a week.
Yeah, that's all right. But, yeah, you know, no, he's I'm sure he would have understood. But, yeah, someone had asked, is there a theater out there in Brookings? Like, are you crazy? It's minus 40 wind chill. No, I'm not going to a movie. There's no movie that I like that much. And once you're in that kind of cold, you realize you don't want any part of it. So what do you think? What do you think of it?
I thought it was really good. It's hard for me to say something if Star Wars is bad. I will admit that. Mm-hmm. I am a big fanboy.
Even the Christmas special?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Oh yeah, no, I don't acknowledge the Christmas special. Okay. Well, I mean, it's so bad that you have to watch it.
I wanted to throw that in.
Oh, yeah.
Because all your credibility is shot if you like that.
Oh, I mean, I like it for how bad it is.
Okay.
But, I mean, right. It's certainly – I mean, technically, I guess it's – well, no, I guess it's not canon. Trying to think with the new rights and things like that with Disney. I wouldn't want to admit it as canon, honestly.
No, I wouldn't want any part of
it. It's so bad, though. It's like a cult classic. You've got to watch it, you know?
Right. It's just, all right.
It's horrific.
Well, if you're okay with that, then yeah.
Oh, yeah,
your credibility is back. And I thought, if you like that, then...
Well, I don't have much credibility in the first place.
Ah, you do.
Any shred that I can have is pretty good. But as far as what I liked about Rogue One, first 20 or 30 minutes, a little slow. There's no this was announced 6 months ago, so
yeah.
No spoiler, but not really.
Yeah, I've heard.
There's
yeah.
no crawl. There's no opening storyline. There's no and it's not, you know, they're not telling you like this long 3 to 4 paragraph diatribe in the beginning. It just opens. And it's a hard open. Like it's not there's not really rolling credits or anything like that. It's just we're in it. You're there. And I like that. But the first 20 to 30 minutes, does a bad job, but it's slow to develop what's going on. Now, as a Star Wars fan, you and I, you're going to get it immediately. You're going to understand, okay, this is what's happening. This is the timeline.
Right.
These are the characters. These are the playing parts, and this is how they're all going to come together. But to the average casual fan who's just kind of going with family and wanting to see the new Star Wars film, might be a little bit of a droll start.
Yeah.
Just the first 20 to 30 minutes. Now, me, I'm looking for stuff. I'm looking for...
So you're telling me Ricky Martin wouldn't enjoy it as much, having never seen an episode.
Has he still not seen any Star Wars?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oof. That's hard. Yeah. It's hard for me to understand how, like...
He knows if I'm president, he's out of the country.
There are some people that haven't seen Star Wars. And it's hard for me to understand that. I'm not saying you gotta like it.
No.
I can tolerate your hate for it. That's fine. But at least see it first. Enjoy what is known as the greatest space opera of all time.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I'm looking for nuggets of, oh, I know what that is. I know what that is. I'm looking for the Easter eggs, so to speak.
Yeah.
The, you know, the throwbacks, the nostalgia. Move past the first 20 to 30 minutes of it, and you really start getting into what Rogue One is about, which is the retrieval of the Death Star plans for the first Death Star. Because a lot of people have even been confused. They're like, well, I thought Mini Bothans died for this. And it's
right.
Like, guys, that's Mon Mothma, who is in this movie, from Return of the Jedi, talking
right.
about the second Death Star. This movie does a really good job explaining why the Death Star exists, why the Death Star has weaknesses, and why the Republic and the Empire are at odds. I thought the dialogue could have been a little more improved, just because you've got this great dynamic, this team that comes together at a whimsy and wants to, you know, do something for the rebellion. I thought that could have been improved, but it is visually stunning, and the last 35 minutes they're moving. It is fantastic cinema. The dialogue does improve as the movie continues, and again, the last 30 minutes of the movie, your jaw will be on the floor.
Well, I can't wait to see it. Would have seen it had the schedule worked out better. I think this is the first one that's been out that I haven't seen within 24 hours of it coming out. But just the way it is. When they release them in May, it's a little more conducive to my schedule. When they release them in December, not as much.
Well, I laughed and I said, Adam Wells and I, when we were at Ole Miss, that was the midnight showing. But at Ole Miss, we stayed the night. The two movie theaters there showed it at 10 o'clock. And I told McMahon after the game, I was like, man, you held me up.
Yeah.
I was like, you had to lose to these Rebels, and I could have gone and seen some Rebels.
That's right.
Right down the road.
He didn't care, did he?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not a bit.
All right. Well, Ed, I appreciate you dropping by with all the information from space and from the basketball courts as well. Have a great Christmas, and we'll chat with you next week about
you
all
too.
This. All right.
Merry Christmas, Neil.
All right.